Blog Talk Radio.
Interviewing your favorite musicians, comedians, and other creative souls. This is the Kerry Edelman Show.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Kerry Edelman Show. Tonight we have an awesome hard rock band coming on named Burn River Burn. And we're going to do a nice introduction for these guys, but before I bring them on the air, I just want to introduce everyone to my show. John Patterson, the vocalist, is going to be calling in tonight to do the interview. And he's going to be one of the amazing artists slash bands that I've had the honor and pleasure of interviewing on my show. On my show, people can hear bands such as Cabo, 10 Years, Tremonti, Trivium, Sick Puppies, Lacey Sturm, Dead, Otherwise, Red Sun Rising, Shaman's Harvest, and the list goes on. So before I bring him on, I wanted to just let people know about the concept of this show. I started it several years ago with the idea in mind to create a forum where I could bring people on in the entertainment industry. I predominantly interview musicians and artists, but I've also had comedians on my show, filmmakers on my show, to help them support themselves, get their name out there. We know how difficult and challenging the entertainment industry is today, especially with the induction of social media and how things have unfortunately changed dramatically over the years. So I created the show, as I said, to create an interesting forum to bring people on and do a really in-depth interview. One of the things I really take pride in is doing a lot of research on my artists and asking some interesting questions. I don't want to reinvent the wheel and do something similar to what's already out there. About my background, I do have a background, a doctorate degree in psychology, but I also throw out there all the time that my show is an entertainment show. This is not a show where we do any type of therapy or diagnosis. Occasionally, we might talk about some concepts in an educational format if it comes to that. But again, my show is purely entertainment. So if you're tuning in, create a Blog Talk Radio account by going to blogtalkradio.com. And if you want to call in tonight, the number is 805-243-1320. So let's do a nice introduction for Burn River Burn, and then I will bring John on. These guys are interesting, and I'm going to ask John about this tonight. These guys originate from various areas. I saw that some of them are from Cleveland, Ohio. They're currently based out of San Francisco, California, so they're definitely coming from diverse backgrounds and areas. These guys really have a unique and eclectic sound, and that's something that really captured my attention when I listened to the album Newstonia that we will be promoting tonight, and it's currently out now, so pick a copy of it up. Something that really makes them stand out to me personally is they're really combining lots of elements of rock and post-grunge and blues and even some southern rock or classic rock you can hear in there. So really, it's a diverse, eclectic sound that's really going to appeal to the masses, at least I think so personally. In 2011, they released their self-titled debut album, and after signing recently with Pavement Entertainment, they followed it up with their sophomore album, as I mentioned, which is titled Newstonia. We're going to feature the hit single tonight, Thanks for the Ride, which is accompanied by a music video. So let's do this. So I want to thank Barbara Papageorge. I always thank the people that I work with for Pavement, for setting up this interview. She's amazing to work with, and I've done many interviews with artists from Pavement Entertainment. So let's bring John on. Hey,
hello,
John, how are you?
How are you? Good, thank you. Good.
Good. Thanks for coming on tonight.
Oh, my pleasure.
Cool. So, let's do this. I always like to start from the beginning a little bit and learn a little bit about who you are growing up and as a kid, and then we'll dive into, of course, how you got involved in music and, of course, promoting Burn River Burn and all the amazing things you guys are up to with your new album that was just released. So tell me a little bit about John. Did you grow up in San Francisco, California? And I know we'll talk a little bit later. I know some of the band members are from Ohio. But tell me a little bit about where you grew up and, you know, how would you describe yourself as a kid?
Well, I grew up in Philadelphia, actually.
Oh, okay.
just on the outskirts of Philadelphia.
Okay.
For me, music kind of started with forced piano lessons.
Okay.
At the age of seven. Seven years old. Yeah, it was something that I had to do. I had a little egg timer, and I had to make sure that I practiced for at least 30 minutes a day. And I absolutely hated it at first.
And John, was this your mom, your dad, both of your parents? Who and why the piano? If you had to play, for example, an instrument, was there a particular reason the piano?
I mean, I think we were lucky enough to have one in the house, but I think it was something that my father thought a kid should practice an instrument as part of their upbringing. But after a while, I want to say after like maybe 2 years, it started to become really fun, and it became because of everything I do.
That's cool. That's cool. So that's interesting. Like you said, something that you were kind of, you know, kind of gritting your teeth. You didn't really want to do it. Became something that you were very passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Cool. And in addition, just to, you know, just to pull some other interesting things in about you as a kid, were you someone who was interested in any type of sports? Did you play any sports, or were you mostly focused on music growing up?
I was definitely into sports, I think, probably as a youngster and a teenager. Sports seemed more important to me than music did. I loved baseball. I played soccer, and I played squash. And, yeah, I was pretty active. I also was into mountain biking. Loved to be running around. I think, I think music started to change later in high school when all the kids were forming bands. And I formed my first band with a friend of mine.
Okay. And so we'll definitely delve into that. So, like you said, you're combining, it sounds like, playing piano. You're interested in playing in a lot of different sports growing up as a kid. And what was I going to say real quick? I just lost what I was going to say. Were any of your family involved in entertainment or the music industry?
My father definitely, yes, he was. He's always been like a low-level actor, like enjoyed being in local productions, plays, things like that. Did a lot of Shakespeare. So I would go sometimes with him. And I was actually in one play with him when I was 7 years old, which was fantastic. And I remember getting to spend.
What play was that?
I think it was Galileo by Bertolt Brecht, I think.
Okay, and what was your part? What did you play?
My part was just a little, it's called Boy in the play, and I had, I think, two lines. It wasn't too much. Yeah.
Okay, but that's cool. So to hear, like you said, definitely acting, you know, that type of stuff definitely seems to run in your family. What about your mom? Was she involved in any type of theater or music?
Not so much. My mother also passed away when I was quite young. She was very supportive. Oh, that's okay. She was very supportive of the music. I just mean in general. But growing up, she didn't have too much influence on.
Okay. And any siblings? Do you have any brothers or sisters? And what do they do for a living?
So I have an older half brother, who was also forced to practice the piano, but it didn't stick with him. So I'm not exactly sure what his job is, but like we can just say businessman.
Businessman, okay.
Yeah.
Anyone? Any other siblings or just half brother?
Yeah, I have a younger brother, 6 years younger, and I guess when right around 15, 16, I started taking jazz piano lessons. I went to some kind of conservatory and tried out for some teacher that would have taken me to the next level with classical piano. And he said I wasn't going to cut it. And to be perfectly honest, I was fine with that because I'd never really thought of the end game of doing music in general or classical music. So it was kind of actually refreshing. I mean, at first, obviously, I was a little hurt. I was like, what do you mean I'm not good enough? But then really quickly, I decided that I hadn't really been trying to become a classical pianist anyway. So it gave me the opportunity to explore some other things, and I took some jazz lessons. And I think right around that time, my brother was probably 8 or 9, and he really got into the piano, and he really ran with the jazz music. He's a professional touring jazz pianist now in New York City.
Wow, that's amazing. Congratulations to him. Awesome. Very cool. So you got the two siblings, so he's also pursuing music. Your dad has some acting in the midst there. So as you said, you're then getting into high school and start to transition a little bit in. And like you said, maybe it was a blessing in disguise that the jazz piano stuff wasn't in the cards, so to speak, for you, because it definitely took you in a direction that was probably more suited to, you know, what your talent is.
I think so. I also was really into acting in high school, too.
And did
that as much as I could. But yeah, I think it was great. I felt freed up from this, I don't know, I mean, I guess I didn't feel like I was in jail or anything, but I wanted to explore different ways of expressing myself with the keyboards. And then when I had an opportunity to form a band with a high school friend, I did it immediately, and it was great.
Great. How old were you about when you formed the first band?
My memory's pretty bad, but I'm going to say probably
That's
15,
okay.
15 or 16.
Okay. And were you, when you started playing piano, like you said, at around 7-ish years old, were you also singing at that time? When did you start to, let's, you know, bring that in a little bit. When did you start to get involved in singing? Was it something you always did or something that came a little later?
So singing would have started probably, I think I was pretty lucky to go to the high school that I did. And arts were mandatory. At least one school musical a year. And I think you had to be in chorus. I wasn't like heavy duty, but everybody was was forced to be exposed to doing some kind of singing. So I did chorus in high school, and then I was in a couple of musicals. So I did get an early start to it. My father at the same time was also taking opera singing lessons, which I thought was hilarious, because he wasn't very good.
Oh, okay.
But I remember that it seemed like every other day he came and told me, oh, I finally have learned how to breathe properly.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a big thing especially when you're singing opera. You need a lot of air. So I think that was one thing that stuck with me when I started singing for real. I guess that was probably in college, and I remembered what he said about how many times he showed me how to get more air into your diaphragm to use.
Right. So did your dad ever pursue anything further with the opera stuff, or as you said, it was just something he was trying to develop?
I think he was just enjoying it for himself. He was already retired, and he
okay.
enjoyed it very much, but he gave up after a little while.
Okay. Wait, and what did your dad do for work outside of, like you said, doing some theater and acting?
He worked for a pharmaceutical company. I think back then it was called SmithKline in French. I think now it's called GlaxoSmithKline. Yeah.
Right, definitely. Okay. So as you said, you're really getting involved throughout your early years, through high school. Where did you end up, where did you go to college?
I went to the University of Rochester, upstate New York.
Okay. And what were you doing in music there?
No, I didn't. I didn't really have a plan. I was not prepared to go to college. It was something that, you know, I knew I was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have a plan. So, you know, the first 2 years I did a little Russian language. I did some history. Sorry if that's coming through on the other line. And then I didn't really have a focus. I ended up actually having a massive cyst in my kidney after like midway through my sophomore year, which was fine. It was not cancer or anything, just a cyst, and I got it taken out. And the recovery from that changed me dramatically, and I actually didn't end up going back to school after that. I stayed in Rochester, and I just got a job, and I hung out, and I stayed in the same house off campus. I was living with my friends. But yeah, so that was a little bit of a shift.
What was, if you don't mind sharing, what, because I think that's really interesting, because, yeah, people have, whether, like you said, it was totally life-threatening and or, you know, that's a significant surgery to have.
Yeah.
You know, what was the moment, what happened where you said to yourself, you know, you said, you know what, school's not for me. You know, what was that kind of enlightening moment that happened for you? And, yeah, share with us a little bit. That's really interesting.
I don't know if it's hard for me to maybe nail it down exactly. But going into college, I was very young, very fit, very excited, as most 18-year-olds are, I think. Was playing a lot of sports, especially on the squash team. The funny thing about squash is because nobody plays it, it's easy to be on a Division I team, which I was.
Okay.
So that felt cool. And then I was working my butt off to get good grades. Because I don't think I wasn't exactly excited to be there, but I was going to make the best effort that I could out of what I was doing. And then I think it was back freshman Christmas, and I had this pain, and then I had to basically, I slept for like 2 straight days.
Wow.
And then my father said, you probably should go to the hospital. And it was all fine, and then we scheduled the surgery for spring, had the surgery. And I opted for the best percent chance of fixing it, which I think in hindsight was probably the wrong choice. They could have gone, I'm not sure what it's called, but when they just poke a little hole in you instead of cutting you open.
Okay.
But so anyway, so I went with just cut me open, take it out, everything. So then it's quite a long recovery time, even for a fit young person.
Right.
When they cut your entire stomach open, it takes a long time.
Sure.
You use those stomach muscles for everything.
Right.
And that led to a really brief period of depression.
Sure.
Because I was so excited about everything I was doing, even though I maybe wasn't sure why. I was clear to my goals and working hard, and now all of a sudden I felt everything was an uphill battle.
Yeah, everything's kind of at a standstill right now because you're recovering, sure.
Yeah. But what I did during that time was I wrote a lot. I got a lot of journals. I don't want to sound cheesy, but I guess maybe my mind woke up a little bit creatively during that time. I had a lot of time to sit around. I kind of only did the things that I liked, which was playing music and roller hockey.
Okay.
But I was lucky enough to live with guys and we were in a band and we played constantly. I wrote constantly and scribbled in my journal all the time. And then kind of when I came out from that, I did take like a half load at school. I think I took maybe like interest in film or something. I took some really easy classes. But I think I remember feeling like the college didn't care that I was there necessarily.
Right.
Not that they're supposed to.
Right, you want to feel a place, so to speak, in terms of, right, I know what you're, it's hard conceptualizing what you're saying, but I can empathize with what you're trying to communicate.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't personally hurt by them. I mean, I see them as an institution,
right,
and their job is to make money, and I had nothing against my professors, but I felt like a number.
Right.
Yeah. And I think combining that with the way that I was feeling in general made it quite easy to, you know, I just asked my father, I was like, hey, can we take a break? You know, I don't want to go through this. He was, you know, I was extremely lucky that he was paying for it.
Right.
And, you know, I thought I shouldn't do this the wrong way. So, and he agreed. And then I can't really remember how long it took to recover, so to speak.
Right.
But the next 2 years I hung out around there and, continue my life as a young man exploring other things.
Okay. And what were you doing for work when you decided to take a break from, you know, outside of course, doing music and performing?
Yeah.
What were you doing for work on the side?
I was working at a sandwich shop.
Okay, nice. Sometimes you need those types of things, like you said, just to kind of deconnect and think about your life and, you know, what direction you want to go in.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know if it even crossed my mind to do anything else at that age, like 20,
right.
Probably.
I mean, you're still young.
I don't know if I had any
right.
skills. I mean, I'd done a little construction. You know, I could mow a lawn, but
right.
I didn't have any
right.
practical skills, really.
Right.
So the, and the sandwich shop was great because I got at least two free meals, a day.
There you go. There you go. That's the bonus. Sure. Mm-hmm. So you take the break, which doesn't turn into really a break. It turns into a new direction. So how much longer do you stay in Rochester? And, yeah, tell us a little bit about, you know, transitioning into how you make it. Are you in San Francisco now, California?
I am now. Yeah, I'm now.
Okay, you're now.
You mean
yeah.
at this time?
Let's talk a little bit about, as you start to transition with the story, like how long were you in Rochester? Then how do you start to meet Chuck and Mike and all the guys from the band?
Okay.
And
sure.
Yeah, then share
sure.
with us a little bit about where they're all from, because it looks like they were from some different areas too. And what leads you to getting out to San Francisco, or if there was other areas in between before you made your final stop, so to speak.
Okay. So I stayed in Rochester for what would have been my full 4 years.
Okay.
Basically I was playing in at least three bands, working, got myself back in shape, did the regular college social thing without going to class, which was probably
okay.
pretty sweet.
right.
And then that just kind of ended the way it was. And then I went home for that last summer. I went on a little trip up and down the East Coast with some college friends, and I just wanted to see something new. So I had a van at the time. I had a futon in the van. I convinced a friend to drive with me across the country to San Francisco, where my older brother was living, and just enjoy,
okay.
you know, the trip out there. So I had no plan, but I kind of just wanted to see the West Coast. I thought maybe San Diego, maybe L.A., maybe San Francisco. Let's just go have a look.
Mm-hmm.
And then I end up making it to San Francisco, crashing with my brother for a little while. It was right during the first dot-com boom in San Francisco, so it was a little exciting and intense, and I think it would have been exciting anyway, just at my age being there. And then eventually got a job, found an apartment, started living, and started getting in bands whenever I could. Went to open mic sessions to meet people, started playing in blues bands, et cetera, et cetera. And that probably lasted for...
Quick?
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry, I was just going to say real quick, what were you doing for work when you were working in San Francisco and, like you said, finding your way in the music business, so to speak?
So, yeah, the first job I got was actually as a solicitor.
Okay.
So, I basically went door to door and sold coupon
oh, okay.
books.
Okay.
So I got really good at sneaking by receptionists and security guards. We had one that was specifically for a golf course, and it was a good deal.
All right.
And I got really good at sneaking past receptionists and security guards, finding mostly guys, but some ladies, bored in their cubicles in the back of these offices, and I would sell them coupon books.
Okay.
So, you know, basically discounts on driving range and
sure.
the price of the golf. And we also, I think we had some comedy club tickets. We had Catalina cruises. It was hilarious. And basically it was cash business, and just however much you sold was how much you would get to take home. I'll never forget the mornings. It was like this morning sales pitch hype up session, you know, with all these young kids. It's just such a funny business. But it was actually really, really fun. And I went all over the Bay Area, pretty much like every neighborhood, walking up and down the street selling these books. So I think it taught me a little bit about not being scared to try something.
Yeah.
I don't know if I necessarily felt good about what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
No, I said you definitely need to be assertive and proactive and right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know if it was, if I felt great about it, but it was fun.
Right. Cool. So in addition to that, then you're, like you said, you're trying out for different bands, you're going to open mic nights.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think I was in quite a few bands, and again, I'm pretty terrible at remembering time.
Yeah, you don't
but
have
I
to
say
too
was...
many details, but yeah.
Okay, cool. But I want to say it was probably
yeah,
about...
No, no, I mean... Go ahead. Sorry.
Right on. I think it was probably about 6 years. I met a guy. We moved into a warehouse to live in. And I started doing event work, event production, sound and lighting for weddings, corporate parties, things like that.
Nice.
And I met a friend of mine, the original bass player, Dan Knight, doing that kind of work. And he's from Cleveland. He's on albums 1 and 2. He was kind of the guy that made it out from Cleveland, and everybody else kind of used him as a beacon to follow. So then there was a drummer that followed, and then our current guitar player, Chuck, followed. So we started playing music together. We had a band. It was called Swaco.
Okay.
And we had that, I think, for maybe 2 or 3 years. And we were frustrated with it because I think everybody wanted to do their own stuff.
Okay.
And nobody wanted to play the other guy's song. But we put up with it because it was our band. And so eventually we broke up. But then Chuck, who has now become my friend, and Dan, who's become my friend at this point, we decided to start a new group called Burn Over Burn. We didn't quite have the name yet, but we started a new group, and we decided to really focus on one style of music.
Mm-hmm.
We decided I was going to be the singer, he's going to be the guitar player. We're sticking to one style, because that way we'll know, or it will keep us focused, basically.
Sure, sure. And what time period is this around now, just to get an idea? Because I know your first album you released in 2011, right? So
yeah.
Where were we at kind of time-wise with forming, what would be Burn River Burn?
Probably 2 years before that.
Okay. All right. Cool.
And then I don't remember exactly when we picked up Kevin, our drummer, but it was pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was friends with other bands that I had played in, and I had seen him play a couple times, and we asked him, and he said yes. And so we had four of us, and then I think through connections we found our original second guitar player, Ray. And that's when we got into the that's when we got that first album done. By 2011. So yeah, I think probably 2 years before that. Maybe a year.
Okay. And with the first album, were you guys just, did you independently do anything? Did you have a label at that time? Or was it just a self-produced album that you guys put out on your own?
All
right, cool.
All us. We wrote it all. We recorded it in the warehouse that I was living in. Put it out ourselves.
Okay, nice.
Had our friends mix it. I think we paid some professional to master it. I think it was Mike
mm-hmm.
Romanowski, actually. He's pretty well known.
Nice.
So, yeah, all self-produced.
Nice. Cool. Very cool.
But going back to, and just tell me if I'm blabbing on too much.
No, you're
but
fine.
Going back,
I don't want to interrupt
okay.
you, and I feel bad because, you know, unfortunately we're not face-to-face, so that's the challenge sometimes. So I know I can tell from your style of speech that I give you some time because you might say something else, so I don't want to interrupt
okay.
you either. So,
okay.
yeah, but go on. And then what we'll do is before we really get into Nestonia, I want to take a break and we'll talk a little bit about Thanks for the Ride and we'll play it. And then we'll definitely delve into Pavement and everything like that. All right. But, yeah, go on.
Okay, great. So this has just been really fun because most of the interviews I do are just a list of 10 quick fire questions.
Thank you,
John. So it's actually really fun to, it's really fun to actually make me think about, you know, this stuff is fantastic.
Well, I want to say thank you to you because that's the most frequent compliment I get, and it's cool to hear that, because I do want to make it a different type of interview. I don't just want to, if I was going to do that, I might as well just do an online magazine. You know what I mean? And have you answer them, and I'll throw it up there. So
yeah.
Cool. Thank you. All right, go on.
Well, so this first album was when, going back to that bit about my father and the opera lessons and the breathing.
Mm-hmm.
When we were writing and rehearsing these songs for the first album, that's when I kind of really learned to sing, I guess.
Okay.
Because all of a sudden I was faced with this kind of music that wasn't really foreign, it wasn't foreign to me, but it was not necessarily my style, and it was loud. And I had to sing over two loud guitars, rock and drums, bass. And that's when that breathing kind of, I remembered that, and I used it to basically be able to survive over that volume. But then we were lucky, we were young, we had time. We rehearsed sometimes 3 to 4 times a week. And I built up all those singing muscles in my stomach that I never had before. I always sang from my throat before instead of from my gut. So that was a really, really formative moment, basically, to realize that. And so I was constantly pushing to see what's a higher note I can sing today? How long can I hold out that note in this song? So that was important, I think, when it comes to the style of Burn Every Burn.
Yeah, no, I can definitely, and I can see when just listening to the album, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but yes, it definitely requires some breathing with the type of music you guys are doing. And really quick, just to pull in some of your influences, because you said, you know, Burn River Burn was going to be a little different than what you were used to. So what were stylistically, you know, or some of the bands that you were listening to at that time before Burn River Burn even formed?
Right. So for me growing up, I guess in high school, trying to get in the band, it was anything that had a keyboard in it, because that's what I knew how to play.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Elton John, The Doors, maybe a little bit of Led Zeppelin. Basically trying to find stuff that I could contribute on, because I didn't know how to play anything else.
Okay, cool. So let's do this. Let's talk a little bit about Thanks for the Ride, so we can feature that tonight and promote your album. And I know it's also accompanied by a music video, which I did watch over the weekend. Very interesting. So if you want to pull in some stuff about the video too, that was a really cool video that you guys did for it.
Oh, cool. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, it was cool. It was definitely cool. I was kind of confused at the end, because I was like, was it a dream the guy had, or did he actually do it? So I thought that was kind of an interesting, at least that was my perspective. I might be totally off.
That's absolutely right. And we kind of debated many times how that video should end. Should he get the girl? Should he be scorned by the girl? And I think in the end we decided it was maybe the most interesting way to make it a loop.
Yeah.
Like, did
this
just really happen? Is he imagining being a rock star at karaoke?
Right.
You know, does our song make him that excited that he might go crazy, you know, on his fun night out?
Right. Yeah, I thought that was great. That was great. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about that song, and why did you choose that as the first one, which I think is a great track. I mean, I think it's, and not that your other songs aren't, but I just think it's a very radio-friendly, you know, song, so to speak. So tell us a little bit about the concept of it. Yeah.
We've been criticized as a band by some for not having all that many. And I think as a band, we do really like to get in the mood. I wouldn't call us stoner rock or doom rock, but we really do like getting lost in a riff. And Thanks for the Ride was us saying, hey, we really do need some more party jams, so to speak. So we made an effort to work on some faster grooves. To break it up, and it'd be fun for the crowd and fun for us. So we ended up writing, I can't remember the exact name of the film, but it's one of those cheesy 80s horror films. And there's actually a scene where this woman's in a car and she's driving, and this zombie somehow gets on the car and attacks her and basically just keeps saying, "Thanks for the ride, lady." And it's kind of hilarious. We thought about making the video using that footage, but then we were worried that we probably didn't have permission for it.
Right.
So we ended up making the video that we did.
Cool. That's a cool idea. And really quick to tie in, two of the guys from the band, right? Who is it? Chuck and Kevin. Do they have a side project for Halloween that they do? Hold on, I have it in my notes here.
Oh yeah, right? They do. Yeah.
Called Astro Zombies, which is a Misfits covered band.
Yeah, that's right. That's pretty much every Halloween.
All right.
And they dress up in some glowing face paint under UV lights and crush some Misfit song.
Nice. So I thought that would just be a cool place to kind of pull that in, because I was going to ask you about it a little
later
on, but since you're talking about zombies and horror movies and Thanks for the Ride having this kind of symbolic, feature.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's cool. So, but outside of remembering that zombie image in this horror movie, does it have any symbolism for you guys in terms of Thanks for the Ride? Or no, it was just, like you said, more of a party song that you guys wanted to make to have this upbeat track on your album?
Yeah, definitely. I have to admit, I guess some of our songs, I usually write the lyrics, not all the time, we share. Sometimes they're just explorations of ideas, and sometimes they're really meaningful. I do think this Thanks for the Ride one was just, it was really about having fun and capturing the idea of the silly concept and feeling of the characters in that segment.
Right. Okay, that's cool. Cool. All right, so let's do this. I'll put you on hold. We'll check out Thanks for the Ride, and then when we come back, we'll talk about the new album and signing with Pavement and all that good stuff. All right?
Sounds great.
Okay, hold on, John. All right, everyone, you're listening to the vocalist John Patterson from Burn River Burn. We're going to check out their hit single right now titled Thanks for the Ride. It is off of their album Newstonia, which is out right now, so definitely download a copy of it or pick a copy of it up today, and we'll be back in a moment.
Hey, lady,
and welcome back to the Carrie Edelman Show again. Thanks for the ride off of Burn River Burn's album, Nystonia, and it is out right now, so definitely pick up a copy, check these guys out, follow them on Facebook, they're on Instagram, they're on Twitter, and definitely friend these guys, and as I said, pick up a copy of their album. Let's bring John back on. All right, John, cool song. Really, really like it. Very catchy hooks.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, really, really cool stuff. So just to tell you a little bit about some of my personal favorites I liked off of your album, and then we'll get into it. I definitely like The Rift is cool. Waiting I really liked. Into the Vein is great. So, yeah, you got some really cool tracks, and I think, like I said in the beginning when I introduced you guys, it's very eclectic and diverse. So if you want to start, talking a little bit about, was that one of the challenges when you were trying to find a label? As you said, people say you don't have whatever songs that are radio friendly, so to speak, or however you want to, conceptualize it.
I don't think we worried so much about being radio friendly ever. I mean, we did like write Thanks for the Ride to have more of a party pleaser for a live show. Mm-hmm. And it's become one of our favorite tracks to play for sure. But I love this band because we've always done everything organically, which kind of the thing I said earlier about when we decided it was only going to be about one genre, even though I'm sure we could span a few genres now, it just really, really helped focus, at least for us, a style. And it was great because especially in the beginning, we'd write something and say, oh, that's cool, but nope, doesn't fit Burn Over Burn. And I don't know, I struggle to describe our sound, and I'm glad that you think it's varied and thick.
Yeah, definitely.
But we have so much fun just trying new stuff and then still trying to keep it within our vibe.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have Thanks for the Ride and Into the Vein. The Rift is kind of an interesting one. I mean, there's almost no vocals in that tune.
Right.
And
it is
one riff over
and
over.
Right. Sorry to interrupt you, but I do like it when it kicks in. So yeah, I did notice that initially. I was like, maybe it's just an instrumental. But then, right, as I listened to it, it wasn't until almost, halfway through, even maybe a little later than that, that the vocals, do come to the surface. So, yeah, it's a cool track, though. And while we're on the topic of that one, you also are working on a video, correct, for that one right now?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much done. I think I have one or two more edits to do. We're going to have a little release party on Wednesday, actually, to show it here in San Francisco.
Great. Cool. So let's talk a little bit about Nystonia. So when did you guys start recording it, would you say? Or when did you start writing for it, so to speak? And how long did it take you to, put it together?
That album was a really slow burn. We wrote a lot of songs. And then we just keep trying them live, try them on tour. Man, I really can't remember how long it took, but I'm going to say probably 4 years to finally get it done. I think we struggled a lot to decide which songs to put on there. I think we were also super excited about writing and just in a really good phase. We left maybe 8 or 9 songs that we could have done on that album we didn't do. It took a while. It took a while for us to commit to the songs we wanted to put on it, but for good reason.
Sure. And where did you record this album? Who produced and mixed it? Pulling some of that technical stuff.
So that album we actually did in our rehearsal space, the kind of the complex where there's a guy with a studio at the end of the hall, and we did the drums there. And the rest of the guys basically recorded through simulators.
Oh, wow.
And then we went back to our room and did the guitar parts and bass parts one at a time until we got it done. No, it was the first way we'd done an album like that.
Okay, interesting.
So I think, yeah.
Cool.
There's some benefits, meaning you can keep trying stuff.
Yeah. No, definitely. I mean, and you got to do what feels comfortable. Like you said, you don't just want to rush things and throw things together and, you know, you want to keep, like you said, I'll pull in your word organic, you know, and you want to keep the process in that direction.
I think it was a little bit of a financial issue, too, at the time, because studios, a real good studio
sure.
is totally worth the money, but it's a little bit expensive, and we just didn't have it at the time.
Right, right. So how did you guys, let's bring in, what is... Tell us a little bit about what does Newstonia mean? What is the, you know, what's the meaning or symbolism with that word?
Newstonia is basically the consummate Viking conquest song.
Oh, okay.
For us, it's
okay.
You know, so we, it's a imaginary land full of conquerors.
Okay. And maybe I guess that's. Symbolically what you guys are. You're conquering in some way the music industry and conquering in a way bringing in a different sound that might not always sit everywhere or, like you said, might just have a hard time. And I think that's cool about you guys because it's not just this cookie cutter kind of doing the same thing that's already out there. So, again, I think that makes you guys stand out.
Well, thank you. That sounds great to me. I love the way you described that.
Thank you. Cool. Yeah, but I think that I like the symbolism of the conquering and you guys are conquering on many different levels, so to speak, which is really cool. How did you come to the attention of Pavement, or did you guys, you know, did they reach out to you? Were you shipping stuff out to different, you know, labels, so to speak, to see who might gravitate or show interest?
So I'm going to say we knew we needed help.
Mm-hmm.
And we needed help get our stuff out there, all of the promotional opportunities, and just basically a good company that knows what they're doing helps out. And we searched for a couple, and we got in contact with Pavement, and everything seemed to make sense. We liked their vibe, and so we've been really happy. We're excited to basically just keep pushing as hard as we can. Like we're all can't help but be committed to this, basically just out of love, like it's the thing that we love to do. So yeah, we're excited to be with Pavement, and hopefully we can make great things together.
That's great. When did you guys sign with them?
Again, you're asking the guy that's terrible about timing. But I think it was a year ago. I think it was a year ago, yeah. I think it was a year ago.
Okay. Well, I was going to say,
but then,
it was like
you know,
a couple
and then there was
ago.
Time. No. And then there was time to plan everything out and plan out the
sure.
releases.
Okay.
Like that, yeah.
Okay, so at least a year you've been working with them.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I worked with Barbara, the PR person, and even one of the daughters that from the guy that runs it, Mark right now, I can't even think of names. It's been a long day working. Mark Nawaro, and yeah, I mean, they're just great. I've always had a lot
yeah.
of success, and they're easy to work with, and they're professional, and yeah, so
yeah.
many good things to say about them from a different end that I'm coming from, so that's great.
Awesome.
Cool. So what do you guys have in store? Do you have any shows coming up? What's going on with this album?
Did you say tours?
Yeah, no, shows. No, I said, yeah.
Oh, shows. Yeah,
shows
so,
coming
yeah.
up in terms of, yeah.
So we are definitely in the process of trying to plan, a tour to support this album with Pavement artists, but wherever we can get our opportunities. So we're really trying to get something going for the fall. It's getting a little bit late, but we definitely already have a bunch of shows on the books, at least locally,
cool.
that are excellent venues for us here in the city. So those should be great shows. But yeah, the plan is to get out and make sure people can hear us because I don't know this. It's I'm really really proud of our album and I think it's great. But I think it's also with our kind of music, the live show brings a little something extra to it too.
Mhm. Nice. And speaking a little bit about the album, too, and the cover artwork, you know, tell us a little bit about the name of the band. I think that's interesting that it had something to do with, if I'm correct, I mean, this is what I had done in my research, that there was a fire or something, a big fire in a river back in Ohio in the 60s. And is that what the name
so,
was?
I think if you,
yeah,
if you, well, if,
that.
Sure, sure. For, it's actually one of the few songs that I've written all by myself. It's on the first album, and it's called Burn River Burn. And our bass player actually has like a little speak monologue part in the middle that kind of explains it all. I think it's the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it caught on fire multiple times, maybe five or six times, starting since maybe the Industrial Revolution. But the final time that it caught on fire in 1969, it was basically the thing that caused them to start the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency. They said this is just ridiculous. We need to do something about the levels of pollution in our towns.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see that in we have a couple of logos, but one of them is fire on top and water on the bottom. So it very much Cuyahoga River and the fire.
Okay. And what was it about, how did you get the name now for the band in terms of Burn River Burn? Of course, it's relating to that fire. What was it about that was symbolic for you guys?
Well, I think coming up with a band name can be really difficult sometimes.
Sure.
I've mm-hmm. been in many bands and usually people settle and say, well, I guess that's okay. But I'm going to give this one all to Chuck and I think Dan, both Cleveland guys. I don't remember, to be honest, exactly how we got on that one. We probably had a list. But that one made clear sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it had that story, and we thought it sounded cool.
Cool. Cool. Very cool. So what about, real quick, outside of music, any other interesting interests you guys have, hobbies? And, you know, please feel free to pull in some of the other members of the band, if they, I don't know, like video games or reading books or, you know, doing something interesting on the side.
Let me see. I'm not so sure about that. We do spend plenty of time together, but we're always immersed in the music.
Music.
I mean, I've gone camping with a couple of the guys before.
Mhm.
But yeah, I don't know if I can really say anything about their individual hobbies.
Okay. Anything in terms of what do you guys each do? Do you do music full time right now? Anything you could pull in on the side, what you guys do for jobs in addition to music?
Well, so many of us have many jobs, but I would say that most of us, all of us actually, are in what you would call the new gig economy in
mm-hmm.
San Francisco, and that's to maximize our time to be free to play music and be on tour. It's tough when you have a full-time job. You might get 2 weeks vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you're lucky, you can get unpaid leave. But that's usually not the case. So most of us kind of keep it day to day and do things like I do, like work in the events business or consult or things like that.
Nice, cool. All right, yeah, so anything else that you'd like to share, John, feel free. If you want to plug where you guys can be found, plug the album, that would be great, and then we'll wrap things up.
Okay, great. Yeah, well, I mean, thank you so much for having me. It's been really, really fun.
You're welcome.
I'm incredibly proud of the New Stonia album. It has a lot of all of our real feelings in it. And I'm just proud to have made it. And I just hope that people will enjoy it as much as I do. I hope that that we can bring fun, make people ideas, and just get down and rock out. And so please do listen to New Stonia. Check it out.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you so much, John. You're always welcome back on. If you guys have new music coming out, new singles, anything like that, we could always talk about setting up an interview and doing some other stuff. So it's great having you on, and I wish you so much success with the album, you and the guys in the band. All right.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, cool. And if you want to, there's a podcast of my interview after it's done, so it recycles within about 10 minutes. So feel free to share the same link that you put on your Facebook page, and thank you for doing that. Feel free to share it so if people couldn't tune into the live interview, they could download it and listen to it at their convenience.
Will do.
Okay. Thank you so much, John.
All right.
Thanks, have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, everyone. John Patterson from the hard rock band Burn River Burn. And check these guys out. We did a full hour interview tonight talking about their new album, Newstonia, and he shared some really interesting information about just his life growing up, some of the things that he's encountered. So check it out. Really, really cool in-depth interview with John tonight. And pick up a copy of their album, Newstonia. It's out right now. And as I mentioned, you can follow these guys on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So thank you for tuning in. Always appreciate it. If you want to follow me, I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Carrie Edelman. And you can follow the Carrie Edelman Show on Facebook, as well as if you want to befriend me on Facebook. I have two personal pages. Just find the one that's not maxed out. Again, appreciate the support. Please check out all the amazing artists, musicians, comedians, filmmakers, and more that I've interviewed. Done about 220-plus interviews. And as John mentioned tonight, which I greatly appreciate, my interviews really are different from any other. I'm not going to just throw a bunch of questions at you. We're really going to make it a cool conversation-style interview and bring some interesting things in about the artists that I interview. So thanks so much for tuning in, and have a great night.